that was up for the opening, the man in the tree, I think of Zacchaeus as probably being either a midget or a dwarf. So some of the pictures, I think, are a little contrasting with what's in my head. This is Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. In the CEB version, a rich tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through town. A man there named Zacchaeus, a ruler among tax collectors, was rich. He was trying to see Jesus, see who Jesus was, But being short, a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to that spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay in your house today." So Zacchaeus came down at once. He is going to be the guest of a sinner. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I gave half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this household because he too is the son of Abraham. The human one came to seek and save the lost."
I'm going to start with a little word in verse 5 today. "It is necessary that I stay at your house." In this translation, it was, "I must come to your house today." It is necessary. The Greek word is dei, D-E-I. Which is one of those biblical words to pay attention to. It is necessary. It points to God's strong purpose for Jesus' ministry. Or the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. It was necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria. It was necessary. It was not normal for Jews to go through Samaria. Jews avoided going through Samaria like the plague. They walked around Samaria to get from the north, Israel, to the south, Judah. Samaritans were half Jewish, but that meant half-breed, impure, not fully one of us. But Jesus needed to meet, it was necessary to meet a Samaritan woman and introduce good news to the Samaritans. Some say she was the first evangelist in the New Testament because many Samaritans believed in Jesus because of the woman's word when she testified, John 4:39. When it is necessary for Jesus to do something, take note. Something special, something grace-filled, something salvation-directed is about to happen. It is the very purpose of Jesus to bring his sacrificial love, his body, and his blood, which we celebrate today in communion, bring that to the table. It was necessary for Jesus to be in Zacchaeus' home on that eventful day. Jesus invited Zacchaeus to invite him to his house. Invited to be invited. Zacchaeus was already seeking Jesus. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd, verse 3. Trying to see who Jesus was. I think that's a profound use of language beyond the surface. Are we seeking Jesus? Are we trying to see who Jesus is? Not our preconceived notions, not what others have to say. Are we on a quest to try to see Jesus? This is the sixth quest story in Luke. Remember, the lepers in chapter 17 were on a quest. 9 to get to the priest, 1 to get closer to Jesus, trying to see who Jesus was. Is there any better quest to be on? Another principle at work here, which we see in other parts of the New Testament, is that Zacchaeus was already seeking Jesus. Now, Jesus on occasion went to help people who were not seeking him. But a principle of ministry is to look at where God is already at work. Who is already responding to God? Who is seeking God? Was already a God worshiper and a generous giver, Acts 10:2. When we find people seeking God, perhaps we should begin there. We do not need to be in someone's face who has no inclination in the present to find God. A principle in sharing the gospel is to start with those already seeking. Now, most people, given time, given their own stories, most people will seek, but it will be in their own time. Back to Zacchaeus. He has a problem. There is a crowd, and as we've heard, he is short. He can't see over the crowd. In some ways, this is a quite humorous story. A contrast between a man of great stature. He is upper echelon Jericho. He is well known in the community as a tax collector, for good or ill. He's a chief tax collector, a ruler among tax collectors. He is someone to be reckoned with, but he must climb a tree like a child to see Jesus. He wants it so bad that he pushes aside any embarrassment. I tried to climb a tree when I was 30-something to prove to my tree-climbing cousin that I could still do it. We were great tree climbers as teenagers. She was better than me. She could shimmy up a tree with no branches, like the one seen here. I needed the branches, but once I was up a tree, I wasn't afraid to go where the branches got thin and wobbly. Not so much these days. A sycamore tree, that's also specifically mentioned here. These are all sycamore trees. Which one looks like what Zacchaeus might have climbed? Based on the biblical narrative, Zacchaeus most likely climbed the sycamore in late winter or early spring. We're in Jericho, as the scripture says, as Jesus was on his final journey to Jerusalem, right before the Passover. Jericho is well known as an oasis, a winter retreat due to its warm climate and freshwater springs. The encounter with Zacchaeus is recorded as occurring shortly before the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. If it were summer and the tree was healthy, Zacchaeus might have had another problem, too many leaves. But Zacchaeus is successful. He gets above the crowd, but as Jesus approaches, surprise of surprises, Jesus notices this short, notorious guy up a tree. And the awkward invitation to invite Jesus to his house ensues. It is necessary for me, Jesus says, to come to your house. And Zacchaeus comes down at once. I wonder if he swung down from a branch. Did he jump because he was only a few feet off the ground? I don't know. He was overjoyed anyway. He was happy to welcome Jesus, the scripture says. He leaped at the chance to take Jesus up on his invitation to invite Jesus to his house. As Jesus and Zacchaeus start out for his house, there is grumbling. At the inclusion of someone who could only be described as a sinner, a collaborator with the enemy, Rome, collecting, probably over-collecting taxes. What's up with this, Jesus? But remember, Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus. I think Jesus was clued into that. How many other adults were in trees trying to see Jesus? What I never caught quite before raises a question for me in this passage. In children's storybooks, we usually see Jesus and Zacchaeus sitting in his living room drinking tea, maybe. There's even a child song, "Coming to Your House for Tea," or "Today." We have a disagreement. We'll talk about the lyrics later. But, and this is what I didn't see before, Zacchaeus stops. He stopped, verse 8, before they got to his house, probably within earshot of those grumbling. And he announces, "Look, Lord, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much." That's verse 8. He was seeking Jesus. He was already convicted in some sense. He knew himself. How he operated was shady at best. Highway robbery at worst. Just like the unjust judge from a couple of weeks ago, Zacchaeus knows himself. And he knows what he has to do to make things right, or at least make things better. Sometimes making things right is impossible. The disruptions he has caused in the lives of many of the townspeople cannot be fully restored. Reparations, which is what is going on here, are never perfect. But Jesus recognizes the turn in Zacchaeus, the repentance. Jesus calls it salvation. Mary Barnett wrote a piece on this in the latest Christian Century. I love what she says. Here's her quote. "There is fear in the air. Things are heating up. The weather's been weird. There are rumors that the apocalypse is coming. The end of the world seems to be right around the corner. But for the moment, Zacchaeus is oblivious above it all, leaning his head against a tree trunk. Who am I?" he asks himself. "What am I here for?" Rowan Williams, in his essay, Ray of Darkness, talks about call. Our call from God is really about our identity. Instead of focusing on whether or not we have heard God talking to us, telling us what to do, maybe we should focus on listening for and courageously being who we already are. Who am I? Thinks Zacchaeus. Listening to the wind, perhaps, looking for Jesus over the heads in a crowd, and then forgetting to look for Jesus as he thinks about what's going on, losing his grip maybe on what he knows for sure and who he thinks he is and who everybody else knows he is, a sinner, a traitor, a sympathizer, and a tax collector for the Romans, no less. He's the worst. "Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus!" It's a voice from right at the foot of the tree. "Zacchaeus, come down right away. I need you." Jesus is at the foot of the tree Zacchaeus is already in. Jesus is present in the circumstances in which we already find ourselves, even when we're stuck up a tree. "To be is to be where you are," writes Williams. "Who you are and what you are. A person with a certain genetic composition, a certain social status, a certain set of capabilities. To talk of God as your creator means to recognize at each moment that it is his desire for you to be and to be the person you are to become. "Zacchaeus, come down right away. I need you." Zacchaeus hears his name and confesses his sins on the way to the house wholeheartedly. His desire is to make amends. It's like a cup running over with joy, not in order to be saved, not in order to get to heaven, but because, as C.S. Lewis says, that first faint gleam of heaven is already inside him, like the light falling on bald-headed toddlers clamoring in and out of a celestial wading pool. I love that imagery. And there's still more. Jesus, also within earshot of the grumblers, likely some religious leaders, those who consider themselves more righteous, Jesus calls Zacchaeus a son of Abraham. Now, this designation was tightly reserved by the religious leaders for someone who is following the religious rules that they have set up. Paul takes this kind of Jesus action and expands it into profound New Testament theology in Galatians. Listen to these words from Galatians 3. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a custodian. You are all God's children through faith in Christ Jesus. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, if you belong to Christ, then indeed you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. That's the line Paul picks up from the Gospels. This is full inclusion of outcast Jews and Gentiles like Cornelius, the centurion, and slaves like Onesimus in the letter to Philemon, a female house church leader like Priscilla in Romans 16. Jesus' actions turn into New Testament theology with the Apostle Paul. And a piece of it starts with a short tax collector who climbed a sycamore tree. Did they ever get to Zacchaeus' house? We don't know for sure. Probably. That's what all the paintings show us. But the invitation to be invited was enough. Zacchaeus took it from there. I think this is a fascinating story to review on a Sunday where we share the Lord's Supper, communion. I grew up in a conference where communion was closed in the 1960s. Only members could share in this semi-annual event. I think Jesus and Zacchaeus shared communion on that tree-climbing day. The artwork that depicts Jesus and Zacchaeus sitting together, whether it happened that way or not, represents the intention and the direction of the Scripture. I'm in favor of open communion. Whosoever will may come. Jesus wants to be invited into your house, just like he did with Zacchaeus. You are also invited to invite Jesus. There's nothing that prevents you from coming. All you need to do is want to see Jesus. We're going to move into communion now. We're going to sing a song in a bit. And following that, we're going to have you stand and form a semicircle around the platform here. I think there's a sufficient space for us all to fit. We'll give it a try. Before I invite you forward, though, I have some words that I would like to share. But we'll move in that direction following the communion song, Jesus Calls Us. Thank you.